Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter Number 15, Text Number 63. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Karya
Karana
Vastu Aikya Darshanam Pata Tantu Vat Avastutvat Avastutvat Vikalpashya Bhava Adhaitam Tat Uchyate Karya Karana Vastvaikya Darshanam Patatantuvat Avastutvat Vikalpashya Bhavadvaitam tadhuchyate Karya karana vastvaikya Darshanam patatantuvat Avastutvan vikalpasya Bhavadvaitam tadhuchyate Karya karana vastvaikya Darshanam patatantuvat Avastutvan vikalpasya Bhavandvaitam tadhuchyate Karya the result or effect. Karana, the cause. Vastu, substance. Aikya, oneness. Darshanam, observation. Pata, the cloth. Tantu, the thread. Vat, like. Avastutvat, because of being ultimately unreality. Vikalpasya, of differentiation. Bhava Advaitam, the conception of oneness. Tat Uchyate, that is called. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. When one understands that the result and cause are one, and that duality is ultimately unreal, like the idea that the threads of a cloth are different from the cloth itself, one reaches the conception of oneness called bhava-dvaita. There's no purport, we'll read the next verse. 64. Yad brahmani pare sakshat sarva karma samarpanam manovak tanubi parata kriyadvaitam taduchyate. My dear Yudhisthira Partha, when all the activities one performs with his mind, words, and body are dedicated directly to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one reaches oneness of activities called kriyadvaita. The Krishna consciousness movement is teaching people how to come to the stage of dedicating everything to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:27, Yat karoshi yadasnasi yajdahosi tadasi yat tapashyasi kunteya tat padushva madarpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. Whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we think, and whatever we plan is for the advancement of the Krishna consciousness movement, this is oneness. There's no difference between chanting for Krishna consciousness and working for Krishna consciousness. On the transcendental platform, they are one. But we must be guided by the spiritual master about this oneness. We should not manufacture our own oneness. Om Agyana Timadandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Nilita Yena Tasmai Shigurave Nama. There's another interesting oneness which comes out of this purport. The oneness between the advancement of the Krishna consciousness movement and the advancement of one's own personal Krishna consciousness. We normally think of this verse, 9:27, that Prabhupada quotes as how you develop your Krishna consciousness. Yat kadoshi yanasnasi. Do everything for Krishna. In other words, you're totally focusing everything to be in this Krishna service. And then when Prabhupada explains the meaning of this mantra after he quotes the translation, then he says, for the advancement of the Krishna consciousness movement. So here we see an idea that Prabhupada is giving us, that there's no difference between cultivating your own Krishna consciousness and expanding the Krishna consciousness movement. You see. And of course, for the Bhajananandi, there is a difference. He's not interested in expanding the Krishna consciousness movement. But for the Goshtiyanandi, it's one and different. I mean, one, it's one and the same. Tantamount is the word. Everything he's doing is for his own personal Krishna consciousness, and at the same time it's for pushing for the Krishna consciousness movement. This is a very nice oneness. It's actually not difficult, because the more that you're Krishna conscious, the more that you have Krishna, the more that you're empowered to give Krishna. If you want to help the poor, if you want to distribute, you know, if you want to distribute money to the poor people, then you have to be rich. You have to have a lot of money. If you want to give out, you know, you want to help the poor with financial support. So if you want to give Krishna, then you have to have Krishna. So it's a common sense thing, actually. That doing everything for Krishna advances the Krishna consciousness movement and advances one's Krishna consciousness. And then there's another type of oneness Prabhupada talks about here, the chanting for Krishna and working for Krishna. He says there's no difference. Well, someone could say, well, you know, I don't feel like doing any service. I'm just going to chant and read. That's all I'm going to do. Because it's Prabhupada says there's no difference between chanting and working. You know, the authorities want me to do this service, but no, I don't want to do that. I'm just going to chant. You see? I don't want to do this. I'm just going to chant. But Prabhupada makes it very clear that we have to be guided by the spiritual master about this oneness. We can't manufacture our own idea. So we have the perfect example of Prabhupada of how to apply these instructions in a practical way. Otherwise, how could we ever figure it out? To have the spiritual master there is so important. To have that, we have Prabhupada's example of, you know, how to apply this philosophy in a practical way. It's so important. Otherwise, you can concoct so many meanings and interpretations. Just like that one verse, I am sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles. Someone could say, well, this verse is saying, actually, the meaning is, it's where you put the comma that makes the difference. By putting the comma in a different place, you're promoting calm. Kama can either promote or restrict kaam. So there's a very subtle thing. I am that sex life which is not contrary to religious principles. So one could understand that, well, sex is not contrary to religious principles, and it's Krishna. What he's saying is, I am that particular sex life which is done according to religious principles. So it's just an example of how you could easily, miss. If you come in with an agenda for sense gratification and you analyze the scriptures, it's very easy to come out with a different understanding. That's why there's so many hundreds of editions of the Bhagavad Gita, and not one of them produced a devotee, except for Bhagavad Gita as it is. So to have that, that's the importance of Guru. Even though Prabhupada says the scripture is the center, actually. Scripture is the center. The spiritual master is essential. That's why it's given in so many places. Mundaka Upanishad, Tad Viganartam Sagarumeva Bhigashat. See, it's compulsory. In Sanskrit language, according to the ending, you see, it changes the meaning. Eva bigats chet. This is called the virilin form of the verb. But it's compulsory, the virilin form is used. You must, there's no option. So in this verse of the Bhagavad Upanishad, the virilin form of the word, the verbal ending is used. Eva bigats chet. Which means it's compulsory, there's no option. So Guru is very much required. Very, very much required. We have a tendency to cheat. That's our nature. As we were previously discussing, we're subject to four defects. Our senses are imperfect. I may hear one sound and I think it's something, but actually it's something else. I may think it's a car backfiring, but it's actually somebody shot somebody in the house next door. And I thought it was just a car backfiring. So because the senses are imperfect, we have a tendency to be illusioned. And if you're illusioned, then what do? You make mistakes. It's very easy to make mistakes when you're illusioned. Like locking the key in the room. And then, if in spite of making mistakes, you think, I am great, and then you're a cheater. So we are subject to these four defects. Imperfect senses, tendency to be illusion, making mistakes, and proudly thinking that we're great in spite of these defects. That's cheating. So how can such a person who's subject to these four defects come to the Vedic wisdom and expect to figure it out? See, he has to be guided by a person who is situated beyond these defects. He must be. Otherwise he will misinterpret. Someone might ask, well, what is this? Why do this anyway? And what's the point of all of this Krishna consciousness? You're saying that in this way you can, become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. But why should I even think about doing that? I mean, that's your religious belief and, that's fine for you, but, not my thing, Krishna consciousness. Why are we trying to spread Krishna consciousness to other people? So we can have more income, more members, so we don't feel so lonely, Is that why we're doing it? Have more warm bodies congregating together in the kirtan. No. We're we wanted to spread this Krishna consciousness movement because this is actually the original identity of every single jiva throughout the entire cosmic manifestation. Every jiva is a devotee of Krishna. It's a fact. Every single jiva. There's not one jiva who is not actually a devotee of Krishna. Therefore, no one is happy, no one is satisfied out of Krishna's service. So this is actually the compassion of Srila Prabhupada that he is engaging us in this way, in trying to give Krishna consciousness to everyone. This is his unlimited kindness upon the fallen souls of this age of Kali. Prabhupada struggled so hard to give us everything we need for pushing this Krishna consciousness to every town and village. One time in Melbourne, he was walking in the early morning in the park, and he was seeing the commuters going, and Prabhupada was crying actually to see. He was feeling so sorry for them, what the suffering they were going through. Their early morning commute, going down to sit in the office all day and come back for the evening traffic jam, and you know, a little sense gratification, some sleep, and go back to the same thing day in and day out. Living beings who are actually meant to have loving exchange with Krishna eternally in the spiritual world, an ever-increasing sweetness and happiness. Here they are, caught in this material existence. So this is the great kindness of Srila Prabhupada to engage us in pushing this Krishna consciousness movement. There's no personal motivation in the pure devotee expanding the Krishna consciousness movement. He's not after money. He's not after followers. He's not after women. It's simply an act of compassion. If one has a desire, if one is preaching but has some desire for wealth, women, and followers, then one will not actually taste the nectar of Krishna consciousness. That Bhagavatam verse, Ahaitaki pratiyata yuyatma supersediti. You see, that devotional service cannot have any material motive and must not be interrupted, must be 24 hours, 24/7, bhakti, you see. Then it will satisfy the self. So, for our personal self, we have no desire for these things. But for the sake of expanding the Krishna consciousness movement, we want to collect unlimited amounts of money. We want to make unlimited number of followers, you see. For the sake of expanding the Krishna consciousness movement, but not for our own personal sense gratification. Actually, Prabhupada explains the Krishna conscious businessman, he can aspire to become the wealthiest businessman in the world. You see, if one is Krishna conscious, then you can think, let me engage, because actually the whole world is the property of Krishna. And right now it's being engaged, it's in, you see, it is, Prabhupada compares the wealth of the material world. It is Sita, the goddess of fortune. So Sita, she has currently been kidnapped by Ravana, you see. So Prabhupada said the position of the devotee, he is taking the position of Hanuman. He is going and he is bringing, rescuing Sita, you see, from Ravana. Bringing Sita back to Ram. So this we want to do. We want that the wealth of the world should be engaged in the service of Krishna. That all the the persons of this material world should all be engaged in the service of Krishna. So even though personally we're happy just to chant Hare Krishna and be absorbed in serving the Lord, for the sake of the fallen souls of this age, we are very, very eager to engage everything in Krishna's service. Prabhupada going through New York City, he was looking at the buildings. And he was saying, this thing, zero, that thing, zero. Empire State Building, zero. So many zeros. They add up to zero, you see. You can have a huge row of zeros, you see. Six zeros, and then you can have nine zeros, and then 12 zeros, and then 15 zeros is what? Quadrillion. If you added one to it, 15 zeros, I've got it correct, is a quadrillion, you see. And then 18 zeros would be a quintillion. They just keep going out. It's a huge number. You know, you just add one. And so this material world is so many zeros. But there's no value at all because there's no Krishna. When we put Krishna in front of the whole thing, it becomes incredibly valuable. The city of Brisbane, I mean, it's just worthless junk, you see, in one sense. Because it's all being spoiled from the sense gratification. But if you devotees can, you know, put Krishna forefront, then everybody in Brisbane becomes Krishna conscious. This will become like a Dwarka. You know, when Krishna was here, it'll become like a golden city. It'll be so valuable. If you engage everybody here, make the mayor a devotee and city council, the businessmen, then in every house you can go on your Java walk in the morning, in every house you'll hear the RT bell ringing, ding 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 ding. So it's actually a golden opportunity that Prabhupada has given us, this life of, you know, preaching Krishna consciousness. There's a wonderful purport in the Bhagavatam. I love this purport. Prabhupada says, a Krishna conscious being is always thinking how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to Godhead. And even if he's not successful in doing so, his perfection is guaranteed, and anyone who follows him will also achieve perfection. So my question is, are we supposed to be Krishna conscious beings or not? Our society is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So obviously, we're supposed to be Krishna conscious beings. That's the whole point of this movement. And if we're actually becoming Krishna conscious, as we're supposed to be, according to Prabhupada's instructions, we're supposed to be thinking of how the whole world can be saved. That should be something we're thinking about, how we can, what we can do to expand this movement so that everyone will join. Should always be, everyone should be thinking that way, not just the temple president or the GBC or the gurus or the sannyasis. Every member should be thinking, what can I do so that more books can be distributed, more people can be attracted? You know, everyone should be thinking. So this way we should we should live a very dynamic lifestyle. Always thinking how to expand this movement more and more. Every member. Prabhupada gives that example of Indian Railways. They used to have a poster that said every employee should see how the wheel on the train is turning, the wheel on the train is turning, down, rolling down the track. Now there's only one employee in each train who actually sits in the engine of the train and, you know, turns the throttle. But so many other employees are also responsible to see that that train is rolling down the track. There's some clerk, he has to sign one paper. There's somebody cleaning the station. You know, everyone has their duty, but every employee is meant to see that that train is moving down the track. And Prabhupada very much liked this as an example for our Krishna consciousness movement. That every single member of this movement should see how this movement is going forward. You see. That books are being distributed, new devotees are coming. You see that the devotees we have now are becoming more enlivened, more knowledgeable. That the atmosphere within the communities is becoming more and more enlivened and enlightened, you see. More and more compassion is manifesting amongst the devotees. All of these things. Every single aspect. This is a very, very rich culture. This Vaishnava culture, it has many, many aspects. in each and every aspect is very, very wonderful. So we should see that this Vaishnava culture is coming more and more established in all ways. Because this will attract people. This material world is a cultural wasteland. People are dying first, actually. They're trying to squeeze that last bit of enjoyment out of their sense gratification. And they squeeze so hard, but there's nothing left. What is it? Punak punash charvita charvano anam. They squeeze so hard. But nothing comes, no juice. I think maybe if I squeeze harder, I'll get some juice. So this is the sad situation of our material society. They're trying so hard to be satisfied, but they're not becoming satisfied. So how fortunate we are that we actually have the medicine to cure the disease of the material society. And we have ample supply in order to cure every single man, woman, and child on the face of this planet from their suffering condition in the cycle of birth and death. It's an incredible opportunity we have. If we simply take advantage, how glorious our lives will be. There's one piece of advice, actually, which is relevant in our Krishna consciousness movement. Sometimes Prabhupada would quote a mundane poet if the quote was relevant for Krishna consciousness. So I'm going to quote a mundane businessman and show how his quote is actually quite relevant for Krishna consciousness. This mundane businessman is Bill Gates, Microsoft. He said, he was just a young college dropout, you see, and he found himself at the place where he got the contract for writing the operating system for the IBM PC. So he said, if you find yourself at the right place at the right time, then take massive action. So he did that and became extremely wealthy, you see. So the same thing actually applies in Krishna consciousness. We're at the right place at the right time. Here we are at the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It's the right place. What better place could we be than at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada? And at what time in history? When Prabhupada has started this Krishna consciousness movement, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, He's given us everything we need to bring the highest happiness to every single person on the face of this planet. So we're at the right place, we're at the right time, now we just have to take massive action for spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. And if we do so, we'll become much more successful than Bill Gates could even conceive of, you see. If we're fully dedicated to pushing forward this Sankirtan movement, then there's no limit to the good fortune, actually. There's no limit to our good fortune. Lord Chaitanya is very much in anxiety. He's in distress to see the suffering condition of the living entities. So if we take up this mission, that I want to spread this Krishna consciousness movement, then Lord Chaitanya is relieved. We're shouldering some of his burden of anxiety. So we are at the right place, we're at the right time, and now if we dedicate ourselves, as Prabhupada is pointing out here, whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we think, and whatever we plan, is for the advancement of the Krishna consciousness movement, you see. That will bring the greatest happiness, the greatest good fortune upon ourselves and upon all other living entities. So I thank you for your kind attention, and if there's any questions, I'll try to answer them. Yes.
understand, because Krishna says there are four types of impious men who never surrender unto me.
Yeah.
Some people to stay here forever.
Some people.
Are some jivas to stay in Maya forever?
Do some stay in Maya forever? No, actually. Prabhupada points out in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya that the destiny of every single jiva is to go back to Godhead. Every single, sooner or later, because they are constitutionally all the devotees of Krishna. Eventually, every single jiva will go back to Godhead. So some people say, well, my destiny is to go back. I'll just let nature take its course. I'll just enjoy it. And when my time comes, I'll just go back. So why worry? But why do you want to prolong your suffering? You see? You want to suffer for 10 million births before you go back? Why not go back now? You see? So no, everyone will eventually go back. You cannot, as Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, the truth can only be temporarily covered by ignorance. So every single living entity will eventually come back to pure Krishna consciousness. Every single living entity will come back. Any more questions? Yes.
Sometimes you hear Prabhupada say that the souls are eternally conditioned.
Yes.
How do you understand that?
Yes. I have just stated, quoting his Srila Prabhupada, that everyone will go back to Godhead. And we also hear internally conditioned. So how do you reconcile these apparently contradictory statements? You see. Sometimes it is explained that because the living entity is so long in this material world, it's practically eternally. That's a simple way of understanding it. But if you want, there's also a more sophisticated way of understanding it, which is maybe it's hard, much harder to grasp. I'll try to explain that also. That conditioning only takes place within the dimension of time, material time. In the spiritual world, this material time doesn't even exist. You see. So when one regains one's liberated position, which is one's constitution, it's as if it never even happened that you were conditioned. And when you're conditioned, it's as if we're always conditioned. Actually Ravina Sarupa has written a very nice article some years ago in Bhakti Guided magazine describing how the higher you go in the material world, time slows down. And finally if you come to the Brahma Jyoti, it completely stops. A dead stop. There's no time at all anymore. Then you enter the spiritual world, there's a transcendental sort of time that functions there. So, you can't measure the time that the living entity actually, because there's no time in the spiritual world, you can't measure the time when the living entity left the spiritual world. It's a subtle thing, but that's why the simple explanation is usually easier. You've been here so long, it's practically eternity. It's as good as eternity. But the actual position is every living entity is actually eternally liberated. That's the actual identity of every living entity. It's simply covered. It's covered, that's all. Questions more? Yes?
As we become more uncovered, will we naturally attain a loving devotional mood for Krishna?
Yes, that is a very nice question. That's right. Actually, you already have that loving devotion for Krishna. So in one sense, it's not that you will attain it. You already have it. Now you simply have to uncover it. It's like, let's say you had a fortune worth $10 trillion buried in your backyard. You see, it's not that you have to attain that $10 trillion. You already have it. You just have to uncover it. So actually, your pure love for Krishna is already there. It's just covered. That's all. There's so many anartas, millions and layers of lust, anger, and greed, which are standing in between you and what you already possess. See? You have love of Krishna already, just buried deep within you. So Krishna, the more we chant Hare Krishna, the more we engage in Krishna's service, that is a cleansing of the heart. And the more we desire to achieve that perfection of Krishna consciousness, and because of that desire, when we engage in our devotional activities, we try to muster as much devotion as we possibly can at every minute. You see, one can lackadaisically perform devotional service, or one can intensely perform devotional service. If you intensely perform devotional service in the mood of wanting to achieve pure love of God as soon as possible, then it will accelerate the process of purification. So we should be very keen to awaken the love of God which is dormant within our heart. Every day we should be very keen to do that. We should understand why we're doing this. Well, I live in this ashram, I'm a member of this movement, therefore I have to do this and I do that. No. Why are we a member of the Krishna consciousness movement? Why are we participating in Prabhupada's movement? We should always remind ourselves, I'm here because I want to get out of the cycle of birth and death. I want to achieve spiritual perfection. That's why I'm here. And do everything for this purpose. If we're really focused, then things become much easier also. It becomes easier, more natural to do everything. Questions more? So we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.